Blog Talk Radio.
Should be good value.
Should be.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the halal industry do for self. As always, I like to start with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And I'd like to thank the listeners, whether it's one or whether it's plenty. Those who hear it now, those who hear it later, those who find the desire to share it with anyone else. We thank Allah for you. We pray that you have questions or input. You call, you punch the number one on your phone, and that will show us you have a question, a statement, a suggestion. And at some point, hopefully not leaving you wait too long, we will punch your number and let you talk to us. Tell us what's on your mind. Tell us what you like to say and go from there. We're building. When I say we're building, I'm talking about the people who are serving God, serving Allah. That don't mean just the Muslims. We're building, but we have to look at what are we building. I pray every day that Allah allows all of us that's living continue to live for a long time. If you heard this before, heard me speak before, you know I always said since I was 10, I'd like to live to be 150. But I'm praying for all of us, whether I know the people or not, so we can see this work that is yet to be done by us. Allah did not choose us, pick us as a people to go through what we've gone through in life through our forefathers and foremothers and all of the things that we've experienced over time. I don't know the history before we were brought to these shores, but I'm speaking mostly about the history once being brought to these shores that are today called America. The life that our forefathers that we heard that they lived. If I was Caucasian, I guess I'd be embarrassed and wouldn't want nobody to tell it either. But that's why Allah says, repent. Don't hide. Repent. And give back. Supposed to give back. Then Allah favors you. We have to recognize that one of the statements that Allah says, that one of my favorite ayats, when the victory comes, stay humble, stay in prayer, and don't do to them what they do to you or what they did to you. We have to see that Allah gives us throughout the Quran keys for success. Statement, that ayat is a statement for success. If you're a loser, you can't say or respond to when the victory comes. If you're a loser, you may never get it if you're a loser. And when I say a loser today, I don't mean somebody that just can't win a fight or things of that nature. There are some people who just won't do right. They may seem like they don't. Let's look at Donald Duck. Well, as the man said, call him Donald. He'll be called Donald Duck because he's ducking everything. They won't call him Donald Trump. They're going to call him Donald Duck. That was said. Oh, yeah, that's what one of the people said of him. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, Christie, out of New Jersey.
He said that.
He said that it was
wow,
it. So in saying these, we see a man that just refused to be right. I mean, he's been on top of everything by the wrong way, but nonetheless, he's been on top. And today he's being exposed. And the sad thing about the humanity is we have a chance to choose truth all the time. But sometimes people don't have a good reason, but they would choose the falsehood. That's some kind of built-in hatred. When we think about Caucasians that will go for disliking people because of their skin colors, going back to the Klan and all of that.
But they say they believe in God. If you believe in God, how do you hate something that God created? Do we hate animals? We waste our hate, humans, waste our hate on each other. We slaughter the animal and we may cry and say a prayer. And I'm talking about even not just as we do as Muslims, saying a prayer over everything that we slaughter. Prior to that, people, you know, I hate to do this to you. And may cry a little bit, feel bad. Oh, I hate to do it, but we gotta have some smoked ham or smoke. I remember hearing this as a youngster. But here we lived in a society where people embrace hatred without looking at what Allah, what God want us to do. And that's what we, the Muslims, have to watch out for. We have to watch out being so comfortable and thinking we got it. We understand it and nobody else do. That we will actually step in wrong quicker than we'll step into what's right. We've done that. Muslims have done that. This is not something that just other people did. Blacks have done that, African-American descendants of slaves. But we have to see ourselves praying for the best for ourselves and people in general. I want the best for us. First of all, if I'm doing well, I don't want the worst people living around me. I pray for them to be better. Otherwise, I may have to fight them every time I close my eyes. Putting ring out on your door, you know, alarm systems and stuff, you might need more than that. Our job as Muslims, through our unity, is not even close to being done yet. We still got to unite. And I'm talking about the body of people that came through the Nation of Islam and Imam Muhammad. That body got to come together as one. Imams have to pull their congregations together as one. Something slippery came among us. I've mentioned it a few times on the air. That once upon a time, Imam Muhammad even commented on it before he passed. And that is when we look at how we were seen over here from our brothers in the East. They didn't want to identify that we were living in Islam. They said America is the big shaitan. They didn't say, except for our brothers and sisters, the imam, with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They spoke to him when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad went over in the East, kissed the black stone. They talked to him, the scholars, leaders, and they asked him, why does he teach Islam the way he do? And he gave them our history. What had affected us before Islam, during and throughout slavery, and they all humbled themselves and said, you're doing the right thing, brother. Teach your people what you're teaching them. You're doing the right thing. They saw his method was not just to make enemies out of us to other humans, that we look at them and see them as just our enemy. But we needed something strong enough that will cause us to stand up and be our own. Now the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, Imam Muhammad passed, and our brothers of the East, even with our own young brothers and sisters that went to the East to study, they were indoctrinated in a way to come back to look like the East. Allah don't tell us to do that. You know what I mean? In other words, if I'm in the East, maybe I wear clothing in the East that's conducive to the weather there. They come here, especially in the wintertime, they got to wear an overcoat. They should wear an overcoat. They may not wear boots over there, but during that time, they got to put some boots or something on. Gloves on their hands. But over there, it may be, you know, I don't know. I ain't been there all year, and I don't check the weather over there all year. Over there, you might can get away with certain things. But Allah has not said nowhere in the Quran
people to look like another people.
Why he made us different.
That's why he said he made us different. That's right. He says clearly in the Quran, I made you different to learn from one another. These things have to happen in a manner that we're not doing it for show, but we're living in a way that comforts us where we live and causes us to be inspirational to one another for the growth and success that Allah offers us. When we see that we can't, from one coast to the other, produce the industry that's necessary. I'm talking about any industry right now. I'm not talking about halal, Bilal Inc., the halal industry. I'm talking about any industry. And we got brothers and sisters among us that got money, had money. And I'm not talking about non-Muslims. I'm talking about in our ranks. We've had it that something industrial could be produced. Produce something to change our society. If we're not producing anything, we'll be forever leaning or looking for someone else to give it to us. That's not the way you grow a man. That's not the way you grow a servant of Allah. Our interest has to be that, you know, our schools, once upon a time, I think we had, seemed like, we had schools in most of the states, at least one, Clara Muhammad School. In the days of the nation, we had a university in Islam, University of Islam, in almost every temple. I mean, I know Philadelphia was thriving. When I came in 1969, actually came in, coming home from Vietnam, we had a thriving University of Islam at the building that was at that time called headquarters. The sisters never got paid, but they volunteered to make sure our children was going to be educated. A lot of love was in that. And we still got some places like that. I'm not saying we don't have none. But today, we should be building model communities with model schools, model businesses, industries popping up over and over and over again. And I do. I pray every day, literally, that all of us live for a long time. No special one. All of us, humanity. And that we can work, O Allah, and change the way things are and establish industry, establish economics. I say to Allah, but I'm sure you got the gist of what I'm saying. We need to be here working together. And we need to reject trying to be someone else. Our men need to get out of the thoughts. Now, I know some ain't going to do it because I said it. But get out of them. The people come here and say that they brought Islam to America. You ain't bring nothing to America. Our brothers and sisters in Dearborn, Slim County. From what I understand, I haven't been there, but from what I understand, they're looking well. We did some things together when Imam Muhammad passed. But when he passed, they came at the funeral and everything.
Oh, okay.
But even when they came, the Imam had told us a number of things. He shared with us, I mentioned before, myself and Layla and someone else was told to go sit at a dinner where they were doing fundraisers. So he didn't want us to open our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel ashamed. He said, just sit there. They ain't talking to y'all. Just sit there and watch how they do business. We don't have businesses to do the business we need to do to make sure our things run. That's why we need industries. But when a person give a pledge, and he could say 12,000, our pledge 12,000, or he could say our pledge 10,000. He either gonna give 1,000 a month or he gonna give 800 and something a month. And if you got 100 people doing that, that's a nice piece of money being given. 12,000 from 100 people. Sound like to me like a man, ain't it? Men one, men two, whatever. So when we look at that, if we had our people in business and the number of them were given to these, I'll say, conditions that our schools and messages even are in, we could cover our way. We could take crime out of our neighborhood as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. We don't necessarily need a check written from overseas. It's nice if we spread brotherhood like that. We may write them a check one day and they write us a check one day. But just as a handout, we don't need that. We have to see that it is us that is holding us back. And we don't need bosses. I ain't trying to be a boss. We need everybody to know their talent, what they're good at, and be good at that. And if they're good at that, whatever I'm good at, I could support them, and whatever they're good at, they could support me. And that me will grow, not just because of me and that person, but that me should grow with every man in the community that's doing something. Before you know anything, you got every city in a state helping another city of Muslims. And don't be quick to share outside of your own before you do with your own. It's sad when we go around the country to different masjids and they no longer, same buildings almost. In most cases, same buildings. But the hands have been turned over to someone that want to say they started Islam in America. And they didn't come to America until a few years ago. But they started. No. In other words, you all saying Elijah Muhammad, but he wasn't right. Yes, he was right. And for those who say something, there's a few things that they're doing that's definitely wrong. One, you don't eat your brother's back out. People want to say something about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Even if he made mistakes, Allah says, if you do a pound, and I'm using the term pound, I'm putting it in my words. If you do a pound worth of wrong, I will punish you with a pound of punishment. If you do a pound worth of good, I will give you rewards without counting. Meaning to just keep expanding on the rewards that you get for the good. But we got people that will talk against what we came through. No, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad introduced us to the Quran. As I've said to people over and over again, I read the Quran going to Vietnam. And once in Vietnam for a year, I read cover to cover three times, the Bible three times, as I said, the Quran three times, How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man, cover to cover four times a month. Four times a month. Check that, 12 months, four times, 48 times. How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man, cover to cover, small books. But the Quran, the Bible, four times in the whole year. That's almost once a quarter. Who did that make me a scholar? No, it don't make me that. You can call me that if you want. You can call me Imam if you want. You don't have to call me. But what it means is that I read the Quran before I met a physical Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had the message to the black man and how to eat and live there, so I knew what he looked like on paper. But I didn't see him for that year, and I'd never seen him in life before. But while I was in the Quran reading, I saw Allah was God. I saw Muhammad was his messenger. So people want to say what he gave us. I know what he gave me. When I came home, I came to join the Nation of Islam, who introduced me to the Quran. The lieutenant, one of the lieutenants in the class, has taught me Arabic within that year training, that year class. So there was a lot of things that came to us from who? The Nation of Islam.
from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad reaching out, that learn these lessons, and your reward would be a Quran Sharif, or sometimes they would say Quran Kareem. Either one. Oh, but he said man is God. Well, he told us, that man in the picture, when he returned, he won't look like that. He didn't say he won't look like God. He said he won't look like that. So me and Nate sitting next to each other, James go to sleep. I'm just talking, James. James go to sleep, and when he wake up, we switch seats. Okay, he could tell which one ain't Wally and which one ain't Nate. But the man said, when you see this man again, he ain't going to be the same person you know. So anybody that thought he was God should know. When you see that person again, he ain't God. But for me, he didn't say that. I didn't hear that in a way that say that he, the part I'm talking about, I didn't hear him say he's God. I heard him say that he won't look the same that he looked like now. I also heard him say how he was born. Ain't no God. Well, let me back up. Allah don't have a father or a birthday or a mother. Don't have that. That's how our Christian brothers and sisters went wrong. They want to say God has a son. If he had a son, wouldn't it be easy to believe it would be Adam? Since Adam wasn't born of anybody's flesh. Now, we ain't making Adam God's son. No, I ain't doing that. But our brother Jesus, may Allah have mercy on him, keep him high in paradise, and his mother, because they said it of her. She didn't say it of herself. It was a blessing that was given to her. Things has been passed off in religion. In the Christian religion, they wanted to make one body of faithful Bible readers or Torah readers, the special people. Allah says we all special, and his blessing will reach all of us. Don't nobody have to jump up and say, me too? No. If you know God, you already know he's talking about you too. Everything that man can do, we can do. This African-American descendant of a slave. And what I would really like to ring home, if it's possible, tells the human being how to make it in the Quran. And ever since I've been a child, I've seen other human beings make it around us. I remember just a few Spanish people coming through the neighborhood. Around the corner was the African-American neighborhood. I lived on the side that there was Caucasian. I never seen who walks on the other side as a real youngster. But the Spanish would come through and wouldn't speak. Even as a child, I would speak to people. They wouldn't speak. They'd just walk by, they'd look at us and just keep on walking. We could look each other dead in the eye. And this was adults looking at me as well as children. But they wouldn't speak. I never liked that. My father taught me to speak. But what I learned as I got older, even right now, you look at the stores in our neighborhood across this country. The Hispanics have theirs. The Italian have theirs. The Polish have theirs. The Jews have theirs. Now the Pakistanis have theirs. The Arabs have theirs. The Iranians, they have theirs. The Africans, they have theirs. In our neighborhood. And we ain't making nothing. And the Asians, excuse me, that's right. And we ain't making nothing. We have to come together and put businesses in our neighborhood. And then establish other industries so our people could do better. This don't mean do it and don't help or serve anybody else. No, I don't mean that. But why are we comfortable with seemingly disliking to do things with each other, but will make everybody else come through the neighborhood rich? That's a sickness. That's a disease. Part of it is from slavery. And the other part is something that we just carried on that belonged in the wasteland, and we carried on like it belonged to us. Let us take a PSA for a minute. Let me hit this.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
As-salamu alaykum. I'd like to read from the 76th surah of the Quran. Has there not been over man a long period of time when he was nothing, not even mentioned? Verily, we created man from a drop of mingled sperm in order to try him. So we gave him the gifts of hearing and sight. We showed him the way. Whether he be grateful or ungrateful, rests on his will. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry, Do For Self, with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Link, and co-hosts, James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interests of Bilal Link is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build a model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, PAN Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Thanks, Brother James. Nate Muhammad. Allow industry do for self. Assalamu alaikum. I want to just comment, too, on one thing the Imam addressed. And in accordance with the United, he said that the Imam has to come together. The Imam, the one that is total leadership over the community from an Islamic perspective. We've been watching, or at least I have, where they tried to put the Imam in a secondary position, meaning that he doesn't have any juice. All he's supposed to do is do Juma, the janazah prayer, do consultation. No, that is not true. The Imam is the highest position among the people in Islam. He's responsible for helping guiding the people to what's right. Allah charges him that. When he accepts that position, he knows that's his responsibility. You know, we came through the Nation of Islam, and the ministers back then, they had a lot of juice. They had a lot of say-so. And I watched them and walked right along with them and helped delegate that. And we will always say that, and the minister used to tell us too. Before we was anything, we was a brother. That gave you the right to address, speak to the minister, the Imam, because you're a brother first. If we go to unite, establish our criteria to build this model community, we have to have the same concept. We're all a brother first.
We don't let nobody come over and take that away from us. They're going to push the imam in a secondary position. No. We have to get behind what Allah wants, the same way we got behind the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and Allah be pleased with him. And we will protect him. We will run through walls for him. We will do anything he asks. We have to get to that same position and lead with what Allah says. And that way, we have to build the leadership up, strengthen that imam. That's our imam. Matter of fact, that's our brother imam. And we want for him what we want for ourselves. This is what we've been taught. We don't put our language aside. That's what helped develop us as Muslims today. We don't forget that. Somebody come with another ideology and we're supposed to put ours aside? No. We can learn from them, but we don't drop ourselves what we have learned to appease them. And if we're going to build that structure in a unified way, we have to have an identity that we all adhere to. That's why we say we build everything around, I would say, the oneness of Allah, with Allah's name. That's what makes doing sure very easy, very simple. But the imam, to start on the imams from our legacy, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad, has to come forward. They never sat down. They never could. They always were bickering and thinking, you know, very niggishly stuff that we grew up in out in the street. And I said, man, that stuff still exists after all this. We got all this knowledge and got this structure, and we still carrying that. But this is on another high level now. This is what Allah wants. This ain't what I want, you know. I don't even go by what I want no more. I do what Allah said. That's what he wants. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So then I don't have any reason to feel slight. And matter of fact, you'll go back and go with them same ministers and imams, and you'll be asking, well, what problems you got with the other brothers? It was all petty differences. It had nothing to do with the religion. It's petty. And if we're going to be oneness, we're going to have to put that pettiness aside and lead what Allah says. That's what I said before. That's the common denominator that we all identify with. Let's move off of that. That's greater than moving off what I say or moving off what somebody else say. Let's move off what we say. Mm-hmm. That's our criteria. I'm going to be speaking a lot on the unification of everything because I've seen as a people, as structure and everything, we got everything we need. We just don't have unity because we don't know how to unify. But once you put your selfishness aside, your petty differences aside, you will see the only one standing there is Allah, God. It won't be me. And why not do it his way? Don't wait till we get all broken down and beat up, and then we're going to come up here and bear witness to that. Mm-hmm. Let's do it while we can, while we all are very attentive. We got all kinds of things going on out here in this society. I was talking to my brother about reparation. And we went back and I did some little research on it, and it was the Black Business Association. They were sitting up there discussing about how could they deal with the reparation thing. And one gentleman said that our biggest problem, again, is that we're not unified. There's no unity among us. So that there we know what our problem is. We know it. And that's the first thing that's on the list in the halal industry. To do for self, to build our modern community, is to unify.
The first thing on the list. We can't get past that. We got to get past unification. And if we can't do that, it's going to be a tough time to try to survive. And plus, Allah's in charge of this. I'm not in charge of this. Allah's going to, you know, it's going to happen whether we hear, see it or not. It's going to happen. Just by the path, how we just came from the first part of our growth to the second part of our growth, growing out of all the haram things, striving to be halal. So the next thing is we ready for, if you go back with the Nation of Islam, how Master Farah Muhammad put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in charge. The second thing he did, he created the FOI, the brothers, established the brother for the unification of the community. They wind up the legs of the community that made sure everything needed to be done or had to be done, got done. This is the same thing we've been already prepared for. We already seen how it can happen. We already seen it. And it's not nothing that weighing on our mind that's so heavy. This is, we can see it. We can almost reach out and touch it. But we have to lead with what Allah says first. No way we're going to get around that. And all these, the imams and all that, that's having a problem trying to sit down and unite as a leadership. The community is suffering because of that. The community is waiting for a real guidance. We had it at one time, again, as I said, but we let a little bit of thing happen that caused it to fall. So we can build it right back up. It didn't tarnish nothing. It just fell. We just rise back up, build it back up. But if we're going to lead what Allah says, God, we have to sit down and listen or learn to listen with our brothers, listen to our brothers. Because we have the answer to our solution. We just haven't came together and make it work. You know, sat down in many a meetings and they wind up not chaotic, but argumental because of you have personality clashes. And among men, you can always have personality clashes. It doesn't matter because Allah, like the Imam said, the Allah made us all different so we can learn from each other. But if we put all that aside and lead with what Allah says, we can be successful. So I'm going to turn the mic back over to Imam Bilal and come back to you later into the program. I also see a hand up.
No. Yes, I am. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, that's all right, no problem, Nick. Once again, this is Iman Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Jew for Self. And there was a few hands up, but if we see right now, 727-408, the mic is on for you. State who you are and ask your question or make your statement, suggestions, whatever you like to do.
Okay, alhamdulillah. This is Martha Naila Abdullah. I hope you can hear me okay because this phone is a scratchy one.
Yes, I hear you very well, Sister Martha. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God. I'm wonderful. I wanted to speak in reference to, and I apologize before I start, that I'm just checking in to be a part of the listenership. But I wanted to, and I know your base is economics, and you've done, right, many times of sharing with us about, the projects that can be taken operated, put into operation. I couldn't think of the other word.
Yeah.
Put into operation to make it become a benefit for various communities that we are connected with right now. And so as I was studying, I had to go back into my study habits and study how an economy, Imam, is set. And it referenced, you know, of course, the gross domestic product and the gross national product and all of that. But it said that, you know, it's when people come together and they determine that they want to do business with one another, and they put those factors in place to make that happen. And as whatever industry that they're connected with or going to connect with, or that they're, you know, mainstreaming it, however it is put into operation, that it becomes your economic plan, your economic system. And I said, wow, that's wonderful. You know, so as we speak about products that are already out that individuals are selling, but it takes, like what you're doing in a think tank fashion, is what coming together and identifying that and identify the operational process so that one can begin to go into the working process and begin to see the, and I'm going to hold this part to myself right now and speak to you later on about it. But the gold mine of a labor pool that is present, that we can really, truly benefit from.
You better know. That's correct. Right, Sister Martha, that you're right on it.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And I pray that those who are listening, they recognize that all of us, we need to just stick our head in a book or just stick our head in thoughts, because most of the answer is right in us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have the experience already, the Nation of Islam, being many of our forelife, as far as our starting this time, we seen what that was about. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was building a nation within a nation, as he would say. And in that, the pies, bean pies, remember, that was our biggest sale pitch across the country.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And say it again, Nate.
Bean soup.
And then the akbar juice, for those of us to go back and remember when the brother did that.
Mm-hmm.
Omar the Nile. Yeah, all of that. So those were pieces, but there are so many things that we didn't get a chance to touch in the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as well Imam Muhammad. Near the end of Imam Muhammad's time, he sat myself and him, and I'm sure others, discussed it with him. We had dialogue, but we need today, since that kind of leadership is not around, we need as many avenues as possible to share with each other, come together. And again, Sister Martha, I'm asking you to, maybe this month might be too tight because there's a few things that's going on, but to look at the Zoom happening, that we can call whoever come together and be willing to talk about establishing the model community and what we have to offer in that. As you said, my push is economics. Somebody else may be education. Somebody else may be hospitals, et cetera, et cetera. But collectively, we need to see what goes into the model community, and then how will we establish as we go along and see where. And where will be easy once we get the, as you said, the think tank together, put the picture together, and put the call out, where will become easy. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that got land or relatives that know where we can pick up land. We just got to have that spirit of working together and being satisfied with it. Not necessarily, I'm the one pushing the halal industry, but the model community don't have to start here at Philly. It can start somewhere else. I'll put as much as the wealth, once we get the wealth started, push as much as the wealth behind it as I could, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about leaving money in one locale and wait to satisfy me before it satisfies. No, we're building together, and that's the spirit we got to keep alive. You know what I mean? So, you know, and if you have anything else you want to ask, Sister Martha, you're welcome to do it.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, praise be to God. Yes, the conference line is still the same all the way through February, Imam, for you. I think it's set for the fourth Saturday of each month.
Okay. So we can look at this month, October.
Yes. So this month, October, we're to have it.
Okay. So can you if you haven't already, can you email or text me? Email, I guess, would be better. The information on that, so we can go ahead and I can give you some information of what we need to go ahead and plan it. Try to start getting it out.
Yes, sir. All right.
Okay,
sure,
I appreciate it. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
No, thank you. You're welcome. And wa alaikum assalam. And I'm going to turn your mic off, so therefore if you come back on, I'll see it when it happens, okay?
Okay.
All right, then. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. So we're working on this. We're working on this. We don't know who's going to be here tomorrow. I'm begging Allah, literally, to let everybody live for a long time. I ain't putting no names there. He know better than me who should be around and who shouldn't. But we need people to help move this thing forward. We need people that are healthy. We need people that are willing. And it's not all about the money in your pocket as much as it is that we come together and support each other. Done right, in other words, here in Philadelphia, they have used their, and I don't want to blame it on Philadelphia. I don't like it like that, but they got a few lawyers or persons working in the municipal building that has tied us up with our property all these years. And I've been saying for the longest, I don't want to sue and everything. And the brothers and sisters have been telling me maybe you should sue. And I think we're nearer to that than ever before. We're going to look at a few things because it's ridiculous. How long? I mean, I signed to buy the building September 29th, 2005. We paid it off August 2020. And they're still telling us certain things are not paid, which, you know, is clear that that's not right because you would have took the building, took the property from us if that was the case. But, you know, we're going to work on it. And our goal with that property is to tear it down. Build it up from the ground up. Four-story building with the second, third, and fourth floor of the warehouse section will be three processing plants. Pretty much the same type of equipment, same number of people working on each floor, same shifts, meaning it might be three shifts a day. And those floors on the second will be beef product. Mm-hmm. On the third, it would be lamb and goat product. And on the fourth floor would be poultry. We believe within one year, and that means it could be in 6 months, it could be in 3 months, we can expand across this America and sell a million pounds. That's where we're going to start off counting. 1 million pounds of beef product per week, which translates into $1 million profit. Not $1 million gross. That million pounds would have it paid for, the anything that deals with the building paid for, salaries, et cetera, and then after everything, you always put your profit, you mark your profit in so you know what you expect to make. So there would be an average of $1 per pound profit. That means everything is paid. What do we want to do with that dollar per pound that turns into $1 million per week, should Allah bless us to do it? Break it down in five categories. 20% will be used, the first 20% will be used to either find those from among us. Number one in line is the Muslim, African-American descendant of slaves with us. Number two, body person that we'd be interested in is our Christian, African-American descendant of slave brothers and sisters. We got Christian families. I know how I came to Islam. I saw the progress, but I was a Christian. And the majority of us was.
So I want that body, this African-American descendant of slaves, to look better if it pleases Allah. And we should want that. So that's the first 20%, 200,000, in other words, of that million. The second 20%, 200,000 once again, will go towards industry. Industry is what we're doing, taking this building and producing out of it. Now, also remember this. Let me back up a minute. As we're working to do 1 million pounds of beef per week, somewhere along the line, we may be doing 1 million pounds mixture. It may be 3 months out. But the goal is to have each one of them do no less within a year, no less than 1 million pounds per week. That's three floors of products, four type of products, beef, lamb, goat, and poultry. So that should increase. We have to get around to a lot of people, but that should increase. So the second thing, as I said, would be spending that next percentage, 20%, on the beefy type businesses, the industry type businesses. So immediately, once we're moving through, we're looking for property the same size or bigger to open up a factory that takes the hide of the beef, turn it into leather, suede, stuff like that. Take the goat hair and turn it into cashmere. Got the skin from that, the hide, and clothing, et cetera. The lamb, of course, the goat, the lamb. Excuse me, I said the goat, the lamb. Wool for clothing. And the poultry, their feathers, these down coats and down mattresses and down pillows, et cetera, et cetera. We got brothers and sisters that right now know how to do their stuff in and out. Why shouldn't we put them in their own business to do it? So we want those kind of things. And we're going to need somebody to work for us to do it. But as we work for ourselves, we want to put people in business, have their own, rather than just work for ourselves, work for the plant. There's always going to be people to work for the plant. But if we can take from among ourselves someone who has the talent and back them with the funds, and of course we're going to have the funds, the agreements work through who? Graceline.
That's right.
Credit Union.
That's right.
We all need to push behind them. Graceline should know they have our support, our banking ability. We Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, we plan to make a lot of money, no question. But even with the small amounts we got, we're waiting for them to do what is needed for us to open an account with them. And I encourage all of us, how do we help ourselves have our own national bank? Honorable Elijah Muhammad opened one and didn't really get a chance to see it work all over the country. He passed first. So here are things that exist for us. I mean, it worked, but it didn't develop the same type bank in every city. Every Muslim community should have the bank, the Graceline Credit Union. And if they extend to a bank, the bank. This is the only way we build our community. Everybody else come and get rich in our community, but they build for themselves. You, Chinatown, all of them, they got their place where they put their funds. Our Muslim brothers from overseas, they separate themselves from us. But we want to look like them. We want to be like them. And somebody said, well, he divided the money. No, they divided the Muslims of America. Our poor people got that habit of see somebody else and start thinking, I want to be like them. You ain't built yourself up yet. So we have to build, and we need people that, if you are a business person, look at what business you would like open or you're already in business. Because in that money that we want to help people go in business for the first time, if you already got your business, you can't get no loans to improve your business. And Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, would like to be in that lineup to help you do that. So whether we help put somebody in business or help improve the business, we need supermarkets. talking about like the mega business, the industry. We need supermarkets. So we need people who ran supermarkets, who worked in supermarkets.
You got it.
We got them all over, Muslim and non-Muslim.
That's right.
And that don't mean we won't hire a Caucasian. I shouldn't say a Caucasian like it's just one person. If they're qualified, we'll hire them and others. But our first door is open for who I mentioned, our own, African-American people, descendants of slaves. Not just African-American. Descendants of slaves is a special attachment. As the brother says, even about reparation,
mm-hmm.
we got to get our share.
Mm-hmm.
We got to put people in government. So third, our educational facilities. We got a handful of schools compared to what we used to have. We need to open more. We need to support the ones that exist. And we need to sign agreement with those who we help in business to look for the school, the Clara Muhammad in their city, and put something aside for them each week, each month, and send it to them. If we got 100 businesses, like I said, in one city, over a period of time, it won't happen overnight, but over a period of time, short period if we do it right, we got 100 businesses and each one of them was able to give their masjid $1,000 a month just to help with whatever, the maintenance of the masjid, to give the official leadership payroll, we will begin to function different. We have to take care of what's ours without any argument. This is ours. This is my masjid and I won't put no money in it. No, we have to do it. So the fourth piece, that was three pieces. The fourth piece is the 20% will be an American descendant of slaves, educational facilities that are not ours, like some of these colleges and some of these schools that need support, and they're ours. They're not the Muslim hour, but they're our people's. They got a name for the African American college. What are they called?
HBCU.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so we need to see if we can strengthen them. We have to work to strengthen our people. A lot of them tell us, "Come be Muslims and forget your people."
Right.
You know what I mean? When my cousin invited me to go to the temple, I went because he asked me. Number one, and it was just strange seeing them in a suit. Number two. So I went. From there, I went to Vietnam. I had a Quran, how to eat to live, message to the black man. Nobody could tell me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching us wrong. I read them. I read the Quran and the Bible four times through that 1 year. How to eat to live, message to the black man, I read it at least them four times a month. Once every week I was reading them. No question about it. So what am I saying about that? I did not see anywhere that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said Farad was God. And even if he said, did you know what the Quran said? The Quran said Allah is God. Allah is the creator. Allah is the maker. We know what the Quran says.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even reading Arabic. I was reading English. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad's name wasn't in there as the messenger. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, name was in there, as we know, in the Quran. So nobody could say he gave himself or Farad Muhammad the positions. He was a man of symbols. He'll make signs, so to speak, that you need to read through. But that is no reason for us to have our brothers and sisters came into Islam from another place trying to make it look like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't come in right. And the worst part about that is for our imams, too many of them. Too many of our students join in and don't know how to explain what was done. No, Allah gave us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Allah gave him to us, not Farad Muhammad. Allah gave him to us. And we know that. And all we need to do is live that and build it. So that's five would be for catastrophes. You know how sometimes there's a flood, there's an earthquake, whether it's here in America or somewhere else. We want the Muslims of America to be helping as well. We're not always with our hands out. We got to become strong enough that we can write a big boy's check as well. So those are some of the goals. Those are the five areas that we want to spend that $1 million a week profit in. And we want to build businesses all over the country. A believer want to do something, not now, but they can do it, put it together where they are themselves showing us that they want to go in business. It could be a 1 to 3 page. They don't have to do it now, but some months down the line, we're going to want that. 1 to 3 page of what they want to do. One day we'll have those who are professional in doing feasibility studies. Okay, I see two hands up. I'm going to start off with the 111111. Your mic is open, and you can speak.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is Sister Amina from Georgia.
Yes, ma'am.
And
how are you doing,
I'm
Sister Amina?
I'm grateful to talk to you, believers. I have not in a while, and the last time I listened to the program, it was at a different time slot. So now I'll sync this into my phone and to my computer that you're on at this time slot now. And I wanted to mention that you are so on point with your topic is. This is so, I wasn't going to call in. I just turned on maybe about 30 minutes ago just to see what program was on. And one of the things that I want to mention is that I came in at that time, so I can relate so much to you all. And I never will forget it, and I'm proud to always repeat it, 1971.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So I know of what you speak. Yes, sir. And I'm from Connecticut originally, but I've been in the Atlanta metro. I transitioned and moved here to Atlanta area since 1990. So I've been here a long time.
Yes, sir.
So I'm what you call, you know, as some people say, the first from the first or whatever they want to label, what they want to put on it. I definitely remember and relate to the fact that we need to rekindle our business, economics, and community building model that we had and go forward. Because as you said, we have everything that we need. We just have to implement it and come together, those who want to come together and unify and stop the separating of, you know, I'm Salafi and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this different school of thought and I'm that one and, you know. In the meantime, our communities are suffering. We need to come together because we look at the climate that we're in. Look at the climate that we're in presently in America.
I mean,
the land of the free and the home of the slave.
There you go.
They tried to make us slaves again, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We will rise because Allah says so.
All these people
that are trying to block, obstruct, you know, get in the way of the progress of the African American. Yes, we can relate to others and those that want to help, but we are the chosen ones that Allah gave this mantra to.
Yes, yes.
We are the ones. So we have to go forward and stop the lollygagging and stop the whatever else that's gotten in the way, you know, those that want to, because you got some that just want to, how can I say, they just want to waste time or make excuses.
Yes, yes.
But we have those that really do want to come together and have the business sense and have the backing, you know. Like you say, it has the big boy finances. You know, let's go. We need to just go.
That's right.
Let's go forward.
And get it done. That's right.
And one thing I want to say before I get off, I just want to also mention that nationwide we need to really look at, put on the list of helping those returning citizens when they come out, because there's no services now across the nation.
Yeah.
I just had a family member, and that's my son, one of my sons. I had three sons and two daughters, but one of my sons got caught up in this criminal justice system, falsely accused by some people, and that he just got out in our state. And he said, Ma, it's nothing but us up in there. We all up in there. But it's no help. It's no nothing. So we need to go back to, because I've asked some people that's been chaplains in the prisons that I know, that I came in with, you know, to kind of connect with my son, and they're trying to do just that. But what I'm looking at is across the nation, because I look at what's going on in all of our communities. I pull it up and see, you know, the different KUPBAs, the different initiatives in the communities. We have very few reentry services in our Muslim communities or in our we have it in the broader community for the Christians, but there's nothing for the Muslims. There's a few reentries that I saw. One is in California, and that's connected to Imam Jihad Safir's community out there in Los Angeles, California. They have a transitional housing for returning citizens, men and women, because we have women that are locked up too, Muslim women.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's, right.
That's the other thing. We forget, you know. So we and then I saw two in Texas, in the state of Texas, that some Muslim brothers that were former inmates got together, and they had a hard haul trying to get the permits and everything together with the city there. I looked at their story, you know. And then there's another one. There's only three or four that I've seen from our Muslim community that have reentry service. So we need to put that on the list as well. We need to do this and go ahead and go forward. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, Sister Amina. Always good to hear from you. And touch the one on your phone so your mic will go off. And that way, when not your mic, your hand will go down. And if you have another question, I'll see it come back up. And you're welcome to put it back up if you have another question. I'm opening the Jane, why you got your one push? Yeah.
No,
you ain't cut it off. Just push.
I'm not doing it. Did it to me.
Touch the one. Just touch the one. No biggie. I mean, now that I know it's your phone, don't worry about it. It's off. Now it's off. Yes. Sorry about that. We were getting the co-host pushed his phone, and he got like he want to say something and didn't know what was on. So we was handling that. So once again, yes, my sister, you're right. We have to every aspect of life, we got to look at it. I remember here in Philadelphia where it was easy for myself and other Muslims to walk through the neighborhood and shut something down to save some of our young brothers from going to jail. These days, it's hard to talk to them because some of them that's being entrapped are being trapped in some of these masjids that really want to act like they're working against those of us from the first. And they're allowing them to be turned over to a wrong understanding. So, yes, we got a lot of work to do. There's a few brothers we have that work with the prisons here, too. But we have to have, as you said, we have to have a a setup that addressed them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the goals we have with Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, is have a staff of lawyers that all they do is work on cases. They're working for Bilal's Inc., the halal industry. They're working for this Muslim community, preferably if they're Muslim. But if they're not Muslim, I'd like them to be African-American descendant of slaves. If not, until we can do it, we'll get whoever we get, long as they're going to do what they're supposed to do. Because, as you said, there's too many of our youngsters, number one, but even the older persons
mm-hmm.
that staying in jail that don't have petitions. I've been saying this for years. I started a group back, maybe it was in the 70s, early 80s, called Muslims Against Crime. And the purpose of it was to fight what was happening, but then the prisons start shutting down a little bit on some of the things we were doing even. But the purpose was to have a body of lawyers that will fight for them, because if you notice, listening to the senators and mainly the senators, but others that are government officials, their fight is to say there's so much crime, they got a good bill to keep them down. Now, it's not that it's so much crime. It is some, no question about it. We don't want it in the neighborhood, but it's there. But what these senators and whatnot are doing is somebody that's been in jail already, who has life, who has 30 years maybe to life, they're making it harder for them to get out. They talk, if you listen to them, they'll say, we need to do something, be tougher on crime, letting people out, and they go back to crime. Well, that language hurts the people who have lived a good life, and I don't mean it's good, but they haven't done anything wrong while they were in prison, and some of them been in prison 30 years.
Hmm.
This new youngster that did some a crime, they charge him for his crime. But the language punishes the lifers. So there's something I want to do with the lifers and those who are doing a long bit of time. The COVID held it up. But it's something to go back in. But I got to get politicians to agree and sign the agreement to help cause those who are doing a lot of time to get their time reduced. Man in jail 30 years, he ain't the same person he was, or woman. Ain't the same person they were. You look at their records, they don't even have a write-up. And almost maybe been in 30 and almost 25 years, they haven't had a write-up. But every time it comes time to be hard on crime, the senators are actually pointing to those who are doing time. Double language, speaking, I guess you could say forked tongue, the way they're putting it out. They let one guy out here in Philadelphia area. He was sentenced to life. They let him out early. He goes out. He commits a crime. They blame everybody that's been in there for 20, 30 years and stop giving them commutations, stop listening, giving them a chance to be released. So we have to do something about it. We don't want crime, but we do know for a fact Islam lives right, stops crime. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is proof of that. Once upon a time, those of us that were back then, remember, you didn't hear a Muslim curse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just curse. You wouldn't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a different story.
Right.
They all the letters in the alphabet, they have made some new curse words. So we have to change it. It's a new body, but this body is not being taught. They have been fed to reject what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us, what Imam Muhammad has given us. And as you said, my sister's Salafi and this. People ask me, what school of thought you from? I'm from the same one that the Prophet is from. You want to know who led me to Islam? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Who gave me a even bigger understanding? Imam Warasim Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
But the school of thought I'm with is what the Prophet was with. And that is the message that Allah gave him in the Quran. There's no Salafi from Allah's messenger or any of those other names. They're not there. We know that even the brothers, Medea, I believe it is, who wanted to believe that Ali should be a prophet. Think about that. This is what I mean when I say that we are today's mercy to humanity. Look how people twist the word. The prophet lived with them, prayers and peace be upon him, made it clear to them. The revelation came clear to them. He's the seal of prophets. Will be no more prophets. And they go right around the corner almost compared to where they live to America to over in the East. And turn around and say, well, we want Ali to be the prophet. Devils right among us. There's devils. So I see a hand, 636-980. Your mic is back on. You're able to speak now.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. I'm grateful that you are urging everyone toward unity, especially in the Ummah of our Prophet Muhammad. The Ahmadiyyas are not the movement to make Ali the next caliph. That is the our answer for me, my brother. I know you know.
I know. When I said Ahmadiyya, I said, I don't think that's the right one. But we
right.
got it. If we don't get it today, I mean, we'll get it the next time.
All right.
But
the Shia are the ones that had a disagreement concerning Ali, and the Ahmadiyya movement is antithetical to the Shahada team. Are saying that a man named Ghulam Ahmed,
that's right.
After the prophet Muhammad, and that he was the final prophet. And we debunked that, and we keep the excellent example in front of us of our beloved prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. Thank you, Imam. Keep up the
thank
good
you,
work,
Imam.
My brother. Praise be to Allah.
You as well.
Yes, sir.
Wa alaikum assalam. So I'm gonna cut your mic off so you can push your one just in case you want to come back. I'll see your hand come back. To continue, we have to build our working together, unifying as we should, and it starts with the imams across the country working together, seeing. In other words, Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, was told by Jibril. Allah told him to tell him, look into the creation, then look into yourself. Now, all of us may take something different from that. What I took from that was the oneness you see in the creation, he did it. And the oneness you see in yourself, he did it. Talking about Allah did it. But he's also saying between that, the humanity is one also, just like the creation. And if we work together, we'll find all our strengths are divided among different people, different cities, and there's no city got all of one strength. But collectively, we have the body that can build whatever we need to build. And I'm not talking about just physical building. I'm talking about educators. I can't even name everything that exists. But I do know that collectively we know anything that's needed in the world, this body of people can put it together. Yes, we need something that makes plenty of money for us. Industry, that's what we need. See, man, when he first came out, from dust to industry, that was clear.
Mm-hmm.
That was clear.
Right.
When I first saw it, I said, oh, man, look at what he's saying here. Dust the industry. In dust try.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Dust try.
Yeah, you know what I mean? In other words, to build. So, I mean, I just saw it in different ways. I see your hand up again. My brother, I'm going to turn the mic on just in case you know, I thought it went out. So if you're on now, 636-980. Imam, is that you? Okay, maybe the numbers.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here, my brother. I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute, so I wouldn't disturb. Okay. We are in a circumstance that calls for honest effort. Every individual has to have self-motivation. Self-motivation. We speak of the Nation of Islam, and I was part of that, and it was a wonderful experience. But at the same time, there was a military arm to the Nation of Islam. It was the FOI. And I'm sitting at home with my wife, and the lieutenant or squad captain called me and say, the fish truck is in. He's not asking me. That's a direct order. So when we speak of how things got done and all of that, let us not leave out that there was a physical force. Now, this is not this is not general. It's not general. Many of us participated from out of our own desire. Let me say that.
Yeah.
But we cannot neglect that there was a military arm. That motivated you. They motivated you. Get you at FOI meeting, call you a down front. You don't want that. I'm just
That's
saying.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That can't.
All right.
That,
then. Yes, sir.
That's not
enough. No, we're in the era now of you have to be self-motivated. If this Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad and our wonderful teacher do not affect our individual efforts, then Allah says he will raise up another people. And thank you, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam once again, and thank you. And touch your one again so I know that it went out. And again, when I look up and see it, I notice you coming back, and I'll open it up for you. So, yes, what our brother Imam is saying is correct. We're not talking about step out your door and somebody's on your step trying to do wrong to your house. You got to use force. But what we're talking about putting together is the best of ourselves. And I don't mean cut somebody out. Everybody got something to do. You know, if we got warehouses, there may be some people physically or maybe even mentally challenged. But they can mop and they can sweep. There's going to be place for everybody, but no place for force. And I myself, and I agree with the imam 100%. That body, that strength was there. When I came in from Vietnam, now imagine my mind. It wasn't hard for me to talk about killing somebody. I just came from the war, literally. 4 days I got back in America, I signed up for the Nation. And it was within a year's time, I cleared the corners around the masjid, so many blocks in between the masjid, maybe within a 10-block square all the way around, with the drug dealers. And I wouldn't carry no weapon. It was just the way I talked to the people. So we did have that force, and the force should have been only applied not just to non-Muslims, but only applied when there was a danger coming to the people, the youngsters, whether they were Muslims or not. And I bear witness, you know what I mean, there's no need for a phone call. We're talking about finding people that can manage and run their own operation. But that's what we need. As I said, you look at all the other people. They got their businesses that they support, they their own food. They bring their own food to themselves. They got their own little farms. Some of them go buy from other farms and then do something to the product and bring it to their stores. We didn't need some force. And I've never, thank Allah, I've never seen a brother get roughed up in the masjid, in the temples, I should say, back then. We didn't allow that. You know what I mean? But I was one of the first that I'm aware of to go to the corner and tell the drug person. The minister got up on the rostrum, and he, Minister Jeremiah, may Allah have mercy on him, forgive him his shortcomings. He, and this is 1969, like I said, when I got out to service. He says, he tell all the brothers, the room is full with brothers. We got these people coming between us and Mr. Muhammad's people, something to that effect. He said, and they're selling drugs on the corner, and the drugs is getting in the hand of some of the young people, and we got to stop that. So he do that part. Then the captain, Brother Captain Milton, he's the imam today. He's still around up in Trenton, New Jersey. He get up and say, brothers, you know the FOI, we can't take that. We can't let nobody come through our neighborhood and do what they want. Da, 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 da. And when he finished, the investigator got up. Investigator Irvin, he's up in Masjid a lot of day, these days. And he said, the person had on this kind of jacket. They had on this. They had on that. This, and this was earlier today. They were standing on the corner of such and such and such and such and so and so and so and so. And they're selling drugs to people, young people and everything, all in the street like that. So I had a cousin and two lieutenants that I would have took home, but they was all taking care of official business. So I went to my place and changed clothes. No, I didn't change clothes. Excuse me. I must say, this was my first one. This the first one I didn't have to change clothes. When I went down to the corner, I asked him. He looked just like the investigator said. I said, are you so-and-so? He said, yeah. And I told him, I'm Harry Adex. I'm from Temple No. 12 right there on Germantown in Butler. I opened my jacket, my sport coat. I remember, I just came from Vietnam, so I understand killing. So I opened my, thank God I ain't had to do that, but I understood it. I opened my jacket and told him, I don't have no weapons on me right now. I'm saying, if you selling drugs in this neighborhood in 30 days, on the 31st day, I'm going to kill you. I said, now, if you want to do something to me, come on, try it now. He was a sizable guy. He's about two times my size. But the message that I was giving him, you got safe passage, but don't be doing this past 30 days. If you go back in Philadelphia, newspapers should be around, 1969, 1970, you'll start hearing about the drug boys moving off the corners. Now, that was necessary to keep people from affecting the young people. But the piece of where there was threats inside the temple to each other, some brothers, I think, felt that. Didn't, but some felt it. And the ones who felt it too tough, they stayed away from the temple. So it didn't help to be used. But what we're talking about now, we're talking about empowerment of the individual, the family, the person. And that's something we all going to give to each other. I pray to be blessed to get this property off the ground and do what we want to do. But the revenue come from it to do what we need to do. We need plenty of Muslims who are independent, African-American descendant of slaves again, that are actually able to, if they got a place and it's funded the way they want it funded, they're going to make it work. Then whatever their debt is, they just pay back their debt as they can pay it. One of the clauses will be, Allah bless us to be successful, but ours ain't the halal industry. One of the clauses will be, pay back the debt the way Allah says in the Quran. And what he says in the Quran, let the debtor pay what he can pay. In other words, make the decision on what he can pay based on what he know he could do. You know, when I got overwhelmed with taxes and things of this, that nature, real estate taxes particularly, and the city was just trying to crowd me, I said, well, give me a bill that I can afford, payment that I can afford. And they'd ask me, what's that? I said, $100 a month. And they might say, well, you owe $1,000. I said, I don't, but I'll pay it. But bottom line is, give me $100 because if we say higher and I can't pay it, you'll think I don't want to pay it. But if I say $100, if I somehow don't have a dime, I know 10 people that will lend me $10.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that from the Quran for my own sake. And these are the things that we have to bring alive in a rule for us, for Allah to actually help all of us. What does the Quran say on how to deal with this? What does the Quran say on how to do it? We can't sell nothing in our places. That's haram.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I believe this too. May Allah bless us to have this running next year, up and running. I believe Allah will touch the heart of many people who got wealth to begin to duplicate what we're doing in other places in this country. Because everybody wants blessings. And I do believe a lot of people tried to follow what we did in the days of the nation, even more than they tried to follow what we did behind Imam Muhammad. We were more visible as builders, I believe, unified builders under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And again, Brother Imam, that's probably because of the muscle that was behind it too. So we have to look at that, and I do believe all of us should have a pen handy and write down things that should be said. Because when we do shura, it don't mean the shura is done by only the people who are big and strong. No, we want to do it together. What do we need? What do we need to keep out? How do we help different areas? Anything that is thought of. I myself, like I said, I've been a person that called myself a philanthropist since I was a youngster. So if Allah bless us to get this off the ground, that part is easy. Selling the products is easy. Stretching across the country, I believe, is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But we need people in Philly and across the country that have a plan that they see. It might be somebody right there where you live. It might be you that say, we got a spot. We could open up a supermarket. Okay, what is it going to cost? What they need is a down payment. And if the money's there, let's get it. Then let's lay out the rules of who's it going to be. Is yours? You the one that want it? Is it yours? And you might say, somebody might say, well, I'm too old, but I got a family member that'll do it. You'll vouchsafe them? Yeah, I'll vouchsafe. Okay, let's draw up the agreements and let's do it. The key is our people, our families, this descendant of the slave, have to begin to do for itself. I believe that's why Allah gave us Islam. Especially the way he gave it to us, that we wasn't those who was waiting for some of us to feed us and tell us what we're supposed to understand in the Quran. And I like our brothers over there too, but they ain't being fair to us as a majority. So we have to take care of our own, count on Allah, do the things we need to do, and go from there. Let us take another PSA.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Zabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-host, James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. Interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info at cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Pan Corporation Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
James, Assalamu alaikum, Nate Muhammad again. I'd like to just comment and compliment the imam, and this is what I call a true brotherhood, where we can correct each other without feeling slighted. The Lord gives that authority to do that. If we lead in Salat, and who's ever leading the Salat messes up, my natural way of being a threat or we all got to get to that point that we can be checked by each other. And this is why I was saying, through the grace of Allah, doing it the way Allah says it, not the way I would or individually. It's we lead with what Allah says. This is very, very important. I remember many a time, as the brother Imam mentioned, about in the Nation of Islam, it was a little military rigid and all. And, yeah, we were there. Some of us needed that. I knew I did at one time, so it helped me. But Imam Muhammad, he had to get rid of that, as he would say, because he didn't want you running around all rigid. We was security for Imam Muhammad, and he didn't want us running or looking like robotic. And I appreciate that. He wants us to move naturally. Just we want security, but we're doing the same thing, but we just wasn't rigid. We was naturally walking around. I just went back, just thought about where we was at Eid. And there was armed guards at that Eid. And I was highly upset over that, because I thought that that was what the imam talked about, the rigidness. And what that did, what it scared the people. Man wanted us to move, like I said, naturally. And everything he wanted to do. And I mentioned it to the brother, whoever was in charge of security on that. Because I say, he said, well, we needed the protection. Yeah, but you didn't have to broadcast it walking around. You could have low profiled. You don't let people know what you got or what you're doing, and then it's no longer security. It's exposure. So I adhere to this, and we want to build the economic structure. Definitely we're going to need security, but we have to use it in a sense where it benefits everybody, as far as family-wise and all of that. It's very important. Mm-hmm. Now, the imam said this is our time, because we know, we already have an insight of what we want to do and how we want to do it. We know what to do and what not to do. What's going to affect the people, what's not going to affect the people.
As-salamu alaykum. This is the Preacher Hadi.
Excuse me, that was old technical error. I was playing with the computer. I'm sorry. But that is our whole purpose. As the sister said again, we want to build economics for our people. I learn how to deal with our people from a spiritual standpoint as well as a physical standpoint. This is our time. We're going to have to be able to sit down and accept criticism. We done got away from all that, as they said, that the Islamic community done got soft, from what I'm here in the Philadelphia area, you know. But I don't see that. The Lord's taking us to another level, making us look at what we have come through and correct where it needs correction. That's what I see. And then we have another program that we can institute that corresponds and complement our social makeup from where we come from, where we came from, rather, behind what the law says, not what man said. We ain't believing in nothing outside of what the law wants us to do. That's our objective. But we have to unite, as I said. Everything is built around uniting. Sitting down here, when we sit here in a meeting to talk, you know, arguing, debate, clashing. No. Let's lead with what the law said. That's why we open up with prayer all the time, before every meeting. And we close it in prayer. That's to keep a law in front of us. Sometimes it might get heated, our conversation could get heated. But who brings the calm over everything? Is our remembrance of Allah. That's our whole objective. Well, I see the imam just came back. I want to turn that mic back over to him. Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, let's do for so.
Amen. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, James. Wa alaikum as-salam. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for self. And as a state, we have a goal, and the goal starts off with prayer, no question about it. Praying every day, literally. I ask you all, do the same. Pray for everybody. Pray that we all get a chance to see us doing for self. Us ain't us who talking. Us as a people, this descendant of the slave, coming into faith as they should and doing what's supposed to be done. Living this life Islamically as we should will show the progress of the world. I think I might have mentioned this one time before when I was imam in Glassboro, New Jersey, a Catholic, seemingly Catholic church, might have been just a Christian, Caucasian Christian church, was having people come to the church in a city over, township over from where I was at, and was saying they're going to speak on Islam. And nowhere on the flyer did they have anybody that had a title, looked like they were Islamic anything. Everybody that was speaking had reverend or something in front of them that indicated that it wasn't Muslim. So I contacted. They allowed me to come over, told them myself, my wife, and my three children will be there. And as I said, when I came in, they act like they didn't notice that we was the only African-Americans in there and the only one with women covered up, garbed up in a way that you know that these are Muslims. You knew they weren't nuns. They weren't dressed up like nuns. They were Muslims. But either way, the person who spoke, the reverend that spoke, I had to applaud him. He said, I forget the name of the group that they call themselves. It begins with a C. But they're a study group. Christian has a study group, and they, one of them is named by this particular term. And what they did, they said they went somewhere. I mean, probably in the area near the church or whatever. And they stayed in there studying it till they read the whole Quran, everything in it. They read it. I don't remember if he said they had an Arabic, a person reading Arabic and interpreting it also, but I know that they read the English, they read the footnotes. And after reading it, after trying to find error in it, that's what they were actually trying to do, find error. They told their congregation, the church was nicely packed, we concluded, this is what they said, this is what this reverend said, we concluded after studying it for this period of time, I forget how long it was, going back and forth into it, starting over from the beginning, moving up, going back again to somewhere else, they found through agreement that only God could have wrote the Quran. Now, to me, that tells us just be the sign. Just be the symbol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just live it. And people will fight first because they don't want to be like the darkie, so to speak.
But it don't matter once they see the freedom of how to serve God, how to serve Him. In other words, when people respect each other, they rub off on each other in a good way. Good people. I say it to myself, man, what this world would be like if people would just work on loving themselves and loving others. And most of the time I'm downtown or somewhere when I go through this because I'm passing a lot of people. Time to even look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what role do they play in things being messed up, or what role do they play in it being better? I came up as a child my father's way. I always speak to people. I don't care if you're on drugs, you're drunk, or whatever the case is, I speak. And I've had some people growl, and I turn and look at them and speak again. I've never found a time that somebody's going to try and beat me up. A growl didn't scare me, so maybe that made them keep on walking. But it's just from us to be good to each other, and especially in our messages. There should never be a real difference among the Muslims. But we do know with these new schools of thought popping up into our young people's head is something they're missing. And I believe a big part of it is what I'm talking about, the industries, the building, the establishing things that make them see this is what they should be doing instead of standing on the corner. We have to, in other words, in the depths is just like that on an instant if Allah does it. Be no more killing of each other, poisoning of each other. Allah gives man the ability to change man, to remind man. He gives us a lifetime together. And in that lifetime, Allah allows witnessing to take place. He asks the question. Did someone come and tell you about your service to me or your worshiping of God? There'll be angels there that'll be bearing witness that they told me. But at the same time, there's prophets. And man has to step in. We look at this thing that took place that over the weekend with the politicians. Maybe they'll find out the way they were setting up things is wrong. I mean, I hate to hear, literally, I do. I hate to hear them argue like they're just parties instead of representing human beings. There's not enough of that happening across this country to make it better. And they, you know, it's just what's our role in it? Why did Allah give us Islam? Why did He erase everything from us? Or allow it to be erased, but it was His doing the erasing. And then give us Islam, something as great, something as pure as Islam, to follow. And I believe, even in the nation, we did a good job. Definitely under the Imam, I believe we did a good job. I believe today we're doing a good job. Can we do better? Yes. In other words, our image has to come out. I do talk to the imams when I'm around the imams. You know what I mean? And Imam Muhammad gave me that opportunity before, but even before that, I did talk to them to let them know some things that we need to include the believers in. Don't just come and teach the people and then you go downstairs and sell your tapes. Like that's all you there for is business. You know what I mean? No. Let's have a connection with the people. And most of the imams that I've come to know, they're good. Most of them are not business people. So the business that is known is how to come across the rostrum. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's a good thing, too. But the imam has to look in his audience and see the business people and bring them to life. How can you bring business to this community? Because we got to build things. And we need people strong enough to make the kind of contributions that it doesn't hurt them.
if we look up, and I'm saying literally, Allah bless us to do this. Say it's not a million a week for a prophet. Say it's 500,000. Ain't that enough to put a bunch of people in business every week?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It's more than enough.
It was a quarter of that. Quarter of the million. You know, it'd be the same thing. The thing is, we want to start the train moving in a way to build this necessary picture that people could see how we should live together. Especially if we say we believe in God. An industry is one of the biggest pieces since think about this. Listen back up. There was a time here in America, of course, Caucasians had the greatest industry, and that was us, the industry of slaves, where we can work and not get paid. Where we can work and don't nobody care if we didn't eat today. Where we can work and our mothers can drop a baby in the field and they tell her to pick her up and keep picking cotton. That was a great industry for them. It was inhumane. It's something that, please Allah, we'll never see ourselves in that shape again. But industry is important. And we have to have our own. We have to have our own hospitals in every township that we live in, every city. Our hospitals that don't necessarily have anything don't have nothing on the door to tell somebody you can't come in. So these things will give to our young picture of a world that's taking them somewhere. When the world don't look like it's going nowhere, the youngsters, even some of the adults, get a little nervous about it and go to the wild side. And the wild side might mean to use drugs, drink.
Backwards.
Yeah, go backwards. Go take something from somebody they shouldn't take. All those things we could shut down. We proved it in the Nation of Islam. Like I say, in Philadelphia, I didn't hear nobody curse. You want to know, may Allah forgive our Imam, Imam Muhammad, and Grand in Paradise. But he had to say it, admit it himself. I didn't hear cursing. I ain't going to say it wasn't nothing nowhere. It just never was around me. Maybe people was respecting me. The Imam spoke a few times and used some foul language. He had to tell us. Y'all excuse me with this, but he was emptying some problems that was on his shoulder for a long while. But then people start using curse words. I mean, I had to tell a few people in Philly back then, or say to them. I didn't tell them. I said to them, why are you cursing now? Well, you may have cursed. What that got to do with you? If you go to the fire because if you're going to tell a lie, he cursed, or you cursed, don't burn you. So, in other words, eventually, man, many of us heard him say over and over again, I got to stop that. I got to stop that and whatnot. So I pray all of the good that he did for many of us make anything that's an error for him wipe clean from the slate. And Allah takes care of that. But we got to get back to the point that we're opening the door for us to do better, and we do better. And we pass a legacy, an honorable legacy, to our future. That's on all of us. That's the wait for us. We just got the 90-second mark. If there's anybody got a quick question, you can touch the one on your phone, and we will open it up and see what you could do. Otherwise, I'm going to give the phone to Brother James to begin the PSA, but you're welcome to take those couple of minutes. Now, my apologies.
Join us every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self. With your host, Imam Wale U. Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interests of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life, by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9. Okay. Again, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to the program this evening. And inshallah, we'll talk next Wednesday. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Screen will come.